Several cities across Arizona have announced efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in an effort to curb the impact of climate change. Those efforts tend to revolve around what and how often we drive, fly, and otherwise get around, among other things. But my next guest says this conversation also needs to include the buildings we're in. Jonathan Bean is an assistant professor in the architecture program at the University of Arizona and has a joint appointment at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. He says if we're going to get to a zero carbon future by 2050, we need to cut emissions from buildings in half by 2030. Bean joins me to talk more about this. And Jonathan, you've called buildings the elephant in the room when it comes to meeting climate change goals. What do you mean by that?
Buildings really are the elephant in the room when it comes to emissions. They're the biggest contributor to carbon emissions in cities around the world, about 40%. So that's more than transportation. It's more than industry. And statistics aside, you know, I think when you're talking to somebody and you say, what have you done for the environment? People might say, well, I'm trying to eat more of a plant-based diet, or I've bought a hybrid car, or I'm riding my bicycle more often. But very rarely do you hear anything that they've done with regard to the building that they live or work in. And that needs to get a whole lot more attention if we're going to get where we need to go with some of the climate reduction goals and imperatives that we have to more effectively deal with the climate crisis.
I would think that some of those changes that need to happen, though, might be more difficult to make, might be more expensive, certainly. I would imagine it's easier and less expensive to start riding your bike or fly less than it is to, you know, make some of these kinds of changes in your house or your office that we have to make.
Sure. I think that's one that's undeniable, right? Like, it's expensive to change buildings. That's one of the reasons that we need to focus really carefully on what we're doing with new buildings in particular. And the framework that we've had around buildings for a long time has been modeled towards incremental progress. So how do we make small steps in the existing code, essentially to make buildings less bad? But that trajectory that we're on and that we've been on for years isn't adequate any longer. We really need to radically change our expectations, in particular with new buildings.
So what are some of the key things, especially when it comes to new buildings, to make them go from less bad to more good?
Sure. I think that there are several solutions, probably three solutions, that are all guided by a really simple principle. And that principle is that the less energy a building needs, the easier it is to reduce its carbon emissions. So before we get into the weeds on that, it's worth thinking a little bit more about two things. Like, what does a building feel like? And I think that one of the things that's surprising to a lot of people is that when you use design to make a building use less energy, it also ends up being a lot more comfortable and healthier. And this sounds like a luxury, but it's really not. And if you design these things in from the start, you can achieve them with little to no cost increase, you know, especially if you factor in the cost of utilities over time.
So are you talking about things like maybe better insulation and the types of flooring and the types of lighting, that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's a bunch of different standards. There's a bunch of different pathways to get to a good result. So there are two pathways that I think that are good examples. One is the DOE Zero Energy Ready Standard. Another is the FIAS Climate Specific Standard for Passive Buildings. And I'm on the board of an affiliated organization called the FIAS Alliance. But passive building is an approach that you can, in our climate, divide into three pillars. So the first is that we need to construct buildings more or less like a Yeti cooler. So you provide a continuous layer of insulation that slows down the movement of heat and seal the building. That helps to reduce the air leakage so that you're not paying to air condition your neighbor's yard. You need to respect the sun. And, you know, even here in Tucson, where I live, we need a little bit of heat in the winter. And why should we pollute with fossil fuels to make that heat when the sun provides it for free? All we need to do is design buildings intelligently so that the windows are shaded from the summer sun, but can gather a little bit of heat in the winter. And then once you have a design that's working for you rather than against you, then you can use efficient mechanical systems to provide filtered fresh air and what little heating and cooling the building needs. And that's really all you need to do. It's not that hard. Any builder or architect that wants to do this can, for just about any kind of building.
I'm curious about, when you talk about building materials, are we building buildings out of the right stuff to achieve these goals?
That is such a good question. That is the question that we need to focus on, because what we have been tending to do so far in the building industry is to focus on operational carbon. That's how much carbon pollution happens from regular operation of a building. But that's only one part of what makes a climate positive building, because we need to consider the lifetime emissions from the whole project. So concrete is the big baddie. There was a report from the Netherlands that found that concrete production alone counts for 7% of global carbon emissions. So reducing the amount of concrete that we're using, finding material innovation within the concrete industry to reduce the amount of carbon emissions that are associated with the production of concrete, that's a huge opportunity. And then there are other things. There's been a huge explosion of interest lately in wood, for example. And then taking a step back from what we're building buildings with, it's like, what do they do? How do they work once they're built? So we have a lot of renewable energy potential here in Arizona. The sun shines a lot, but it doesn't shine at night. And buildings have a huge role to play in helping us store all of that renewable solar energy so that we can have it when we need it.
Well, yeah, it sounds like there are a number of, I guess, parallel tracks here. I mean, you have maybe trying to change the building materials that are being used and make the building materials that are being used that maybe aren't great, make their production a little bit better. You reference concrete and maybe wood, that sort of thing. You also have the idea of trying to make the buildings themselves, what's inside, more efficient. And then you also write about having, you know, new buildings, as you say, becoming their own power plants. You have renewable energy, maybe put some solar panels on the roof or something like that. It sounds like there's a lot of stuff going on all at once. Together, do they all need to happen at the same time or in tandem with each other to really reach the goals that you're talking about?
I think that's one of the reasons the building industry is so fascinating. And one of the things that the three passive pillars that I described, making a building like a cooler and reducing its air leakage, shading it intelligently, and then using efficient systems. If you do one of those things in isolation from the others, you don't really get the results that you get if you do all of them together. And so that's where the systems thinking comes into play. And that's especially important because buildings last a really long time. So the decisions that we make now and the realm of possibilities, technologies, the ways that we build 2 or 3 years from now, you know, we're still going to be either reaping the benefits from those decisions 50 years in the future, or we're going to be paying the price. And I think we're at a point right now where I would much rather see us reaping the benefits from those decisions rather than paying the price.
Jonathan Bean is an assistant professor in the architecture program at the U of A. He also has a joint appointment at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory.